Are you getting frustrated with what to feed a teenager who's always hungry? Everybody knows that teenagers have a huge appetite. It seems like you need to feed them constantly to satisfy their hunger. It's even more difficult where teenagers who struggle with their weight truly want to make changes, like cut down on junk food or stop overeating, and they can't. There's frustration, isolation, stress. And that's why I decided to create a recipe collection of 30 easy and healthy meals for teenagers. They're all high in protein to satisfy your teenager's hunger, and they can all be ready in less than 30 minutes. If you want to grab a free copy, go to lifestyleforteens.com/recipes. Are you getting frustrated with what to feed a teenager who's always hungry? Everybody knows that teenagers have a huge appetite. It seems like you need to feed them constantly to satisfy their hunger. It's even more difficult where teenagers who struggle with their weight truly want to make changes, like cut down on junk food or stop overeating, and they can't. There's frustration, isolation, stress. And that's why I decided to create a recipe collection of 30 easy and healthy meals for teenagers. They're all high in protein to satisfy your teenager's hunger, and they can all be ready in less than 30 minutes. If you want to grab a free copy, go to lifestyleforteens.com/recipes.
This is the Lifestyle and Weight Loss for Teens podcast. If you're a mom and want to help your child who is struggling to lose weight, you are in the right place. If you are looking for healthy lifestyle tips, Dr. Gorgory is here to help you understand the science around safe weight loss in teens and children. Because what works for adult weight loss is not always the best for children. This podcast is for educational purposes only. Dr. Gorgory does not provide medical, psychological, or nutrition therapy advice. You should not use this information to diagnose or treat any health problems without consulting your own medical practitioner. And now, your host, Dr. Jenny Gorgory.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Lifestyle and Weight Loss for Teens podcast. This is Dr. Gorgory, and I'm going to describe today a research article that was done again on a topic that I get asked a lot of questions, and that's around dietary plans. So since nutrition is a big part of healthy lifestyle, I'm not suggesting that you should follow a specific diet. Let's say this is what you eat and I give you specific diet and blah, blah, because I know diets don't work. Because if I tell you to eat chicken and you tell me I don't like chicken, you're never going to eat it. You're never going to make any changes. But dietary plan is a general philosophy, let's just say, of like, what is the basic idea of the nutrition plan that you are following. And that helps so that you put a plan on your approach to create healthy lifestyle. So, and you can create this with different dietary plans that are available. I have previously described a study about the low fat and the low carb diet. And if you have not heard that, you can just go back and listen to it. I believe it's episode 2 of this podcast. And in this particular week, I'm going to compare the three different dietary plans. One is the portion controlled dietary plan compared to the low carbohydrate dietary plan compared to the low glycemic dietary plan. And this was a very, very interesting study. The actual title of this research is Role of Carbohydrate Modification in Weight Management Among Obese Children, a Randomized Clinical Trial. It was published in Journal of Pediatrics in 2012. And what the researchers tried to investigate in this particular study is exactly what I mentioned before. How do these three different type of dietary plans compare with each another? Is a dietary plan more effective in creating weight loss? And not just weight, they also looked at biochemical evaluation. They also looked at hormonal improvements. They also look at improvements in body fat, insulin, cholesterol, triglycerides, insulin, sugar. They looked at all these different aspects and they wanted to find out which of these three dietary plans was best or more effective. So in order to better understand the three different dietary plans, let me just explain what each dietary plan entailed. So in the kids that were instructed to follow the low carbohydrate diet, the low carb diet, they had an initial phase of 2-week induction phase, as they call it, where they consumed less than 20 grams of carbohydrates per day, and they can eat as much protein as they wanted and fat. And after this initial 2-week induction period, they were instructed to increase their carbohydrate intake by 5 to 10 grams every week, with a final goal of having 60 grams per day. And again, they could eat as much protein and as much fat as they wanted, but they had to follow a low carbohydrate dietary plan. The group that was on the low glycemic index dietary plan, basically what they were asked to do is to avoid foods that produce high glycemic index. And when we say high glycemic index, in simple terms, those are foods that once you eat them, they get absorbed very quickly and you get really high spikes in sugar. So this is really anything that is refined carbohydrates. And because they are refined, they are absorbed by your stomach and your intestines very quickly. Your sugar goes up very quickly. So this would be like things like white bread and pure sugar, juice, sodas, things like that. So of course, they allow some of that, or some of these options in the kids. So they used a stoplight method. What that means is that they had grouped foods into three different categories. They had green foods that they were good foods and they kids can eat as much of this as they wanted. So they can have, for example, fruit, non-starch vegetables, whole grains, unbreaded meat, chicken, fish. So they can eat as much as they want from that. Then they had the yellow foods that they were to consume less frequently. For example, these would be foods like pizza, mac and cheese, dried fruits. And then they had the red foods, which were the very high glycemic index foods, such as sugary drinks, refined baked goods, candy, white bread, and white potatoes. Then they were instructed to eat those less than 7 servings per week. So they can have this maybe once a day and no more than 2 servings in one day. And again, they could have as much energy intake, as many calories or as much fat as they wanted. So there was also the group that followed the portion control. And what they were asked to do is that they can eat really anything they wanted, but they had to eat a smaller quantity or a portion control amount of everything. So they can have grains, vegetables, fruits, lean proteins, skim, low-fat dairy products. And they approximately have 55 to 60% of the calories coming from carbohydrates, 10 to 15 from protein, and 30% from fat. So they try to give them 500 calories restriction in each of these diets. So they were basically eating everything, but they were eating less than what they were normally would have eaten otherwise. And they did have frequent follow-up visits with their dietitian, and they had, if they had to make changes in that caloric amount as the children lost weight, and they made those changes as time went by. All of the children were advised to also take daily multivitamins and have enough fluids, particularly water if they could, and close to 48 ounces per day or 1.4 liters of water. Now, the age of the children that participated in this study was between 9 and 12 years of age, so a little younger. Some of them maybe have started puberty, and some of them had not started puberty. And what the researchers did is they followed these kids for 3 months very closely. That's when they had them under close supervision, where it was the actual intervention. They were asked to follow each of these three dietary plans for 3 months. And then they took the measurements and they looked what happened to their body mass index, what happened to their waist circumference, what happened to their body fat, what happened to their caloric intake, what happened to their glucose, insulin, triglycerides, cholesterol, and all that. And then they kind of let them go and they just follow them after time every 3 months to see what happens and whether they continue or they did not continue with their diet, whether they went back to old habits, whether they gained some of the weight or not. So they continued to see them every 3 months. So they saw them at the beginning after 3 months, which was the end of the intervention. And then they saw them again at 6 months, 9 months, and 12 months. So that was basically the basic design of the study. Now let's see what did they find out. At the end of the study, they found that all three dietary plans were effective in producing results. All kids in all three dietary plans had improvements in their body mass index. The percent body fat declined significantly in all groups at 3 months, at 6 months, and at 12 months for all three groups. After a year, they all had lower body fat than the initial start point, percent body fat I'm talking about. They also had significantly waist circumference than at 3 months and at 6 months compared to where they started. However, after a year, they did not maintain that decreased waist circumference. And there was not one group that did significantly better than the other group. Like, all diets were approximately equally effective in producing the beneficial results in terms of their body mass index, their weight circumference, and body fat improvement. Even though they had different ways of eating, they were all equally effective. I cannot stress this enough, because it is very important to follow a diet that speaks to you, to follow a diet that you can actually follow. Not a diet, a dietary plan. That's what I mean every time I say diet. And another very important point that these researchers brought up was the dietary adherence. What that means is they looked at what is the percentage of the kids that they actually continue to follow the same plan they started after 6 months, 9 months, and 12 months after initiation of its dietary plan. And interestingly, what they found was that the kids that follow the low carbohydrate diet, they stop following the diet gradually over time. Like, at 3 months after the study, only approximately 25% or so of the kids were on continuing to follow a low carbohydrate diet. And after a year, almost all of them had given up on this diet. On the contrary, the kids that were following the portion control dietary plan and the low glycemic index, the dietary plan that was the red light, green light, yellow light, they continue to follow this dietary plan with almost 80% and 50% of the kids. So 50% followed the plan that had the portion control, and 80% of the kids followed the diet that was the low glycemic index diet. So what does that tell us? That tells us that even though all of these different dietary plans were equally affecting in improving the body mass index and improving the weight, the dietary adherence to each of them was significantly better with the plan that had low glycemic index food options compared to the low carbohydrate. And I know there are variations from person to person, but this just tells you what happens on average, at least what happened in this study. And again, it was a small, relatively small study. It was not done in hundreds and hundreds of people, so we can really generalize the results of the study to the general population, but it does give you an idea, a signal of what is most likely to happen. Every group on this diet had approximately 35 participants. As far as the other hormonal changes, after a year, the low carbohydrate group followed improvements in triglycerides and HDL cholesterol, which is the good cholesterol. The portion control group had better glucose, insulin, and HDL cholesterol. And the group that had the low glycemic index had better fasting insulin and LDL cholesterol. So in general, all of them groups had improvements in their metabolic profile. And again, this was a relatively smaller study, so we can generalize this for everyone. So the take-home message from this study, my friends, is choose a dietary plan that you prefer and stick to it. Then you will be more likely to continue to follow through as you make smaller changes. That's all I had to discuss with you today. I hope you enjoy this topic. Choose your dietary plan. And if you have any other questions or any other topics that you would like me to talk about, go to lifestyle14s.com and click on contact me and send me an email at info@lifestyle14s.com. Take care. Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, I invite you to come check out the LIFT program. It's Dr. Gorgori's 12-week coaching program for teens and their moms, where we take all this information, we apply it to your daily life, and we work together so your teenager learns how to create a healthy lifestyle so they can feel happier, more confident, less stressed, and love their body again. Visit the website at lifestyleforteens.com and click on the Work With Me and free resources to learn more about this program and get free help to start this journey right away. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode of Lifestyle and Weight Loss for Teens.